Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I are glad that you've decided to tune in, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing. Boy, we want to be a blessing. I'll tell you that honestly, that is our desire. We want to glorify God and edify His people and do our best even to convince those that may be listening or lost and undone that they need Christ as their Savior. Hey, friend, listen, I'm excited about the message the Lord has given me, laid on my heart, the song that Debbie is going to do. I'll tell you, just excited. So, I'm not going to spend much time dawdling or talking about introducing the message, but I've opened my Bible to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'm going to read two of the greatest passages of Scripture there is in the Word of God. Now, trust this message will be a blessing. I trust it's a source of hope. I trust it to give you some peace and confidence. I trust that God will use it to bless you. So here's Deb. She's got this song tuned up. The title of it is A Promise. She wrote it long ago. Listen to what it says in this song. I'll be back in a moment with a message.
When you see a rainbow spread across the sky, that is God's promise He gave to you and I. For just like old Abraham, He promised
wonderful it is. Listen, friend, you can trust God. You hear what I'm saying? You can trust God. Friend, listen, Paul said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I believe Paul said in the book of Philippians 1 and 6, He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8, listen, He tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. John tells us that Jesus said in the gospel, according to John, that Jesus said, no man can pluck man out of my hand. I know I'm not quoting that. I could turn to read it, but I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, you can rest assured on the promises of God. Do you hear me? You can rest for eternity on the promises of God. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about things that never change. Things that never change. Boy, in this world that seems to be constantly changing, seems to be constantly, friend, going from crazy to crazier to craziest, if those are words. I'm telling you, I've never seen a time like this. I'm 69 years old, the making of this program. I've been around a few days. I look at America. It's not the nation I grew up in. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there seems to be no standard, seems to be nothing that's, quote, normal, unquote, whatever normal is. Expected. I mean to tell you, friend, it's just madness. It seems like everywhere, I mean, things are changing quickly, and change seems to be demanded or desired in certain places by certain people every day. Hey, friend, here's one old preacher that's glad I know about some things that never change. Glory, hallelujah. I mean to tell you, even the writer of Proverbs, the Spirit of God moved upon some man one time ago whoever wrote all of these Proverbs. Listen to what it says. He said in chapter 24 of the book of Proverbs, verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." And I don't know about you, but I can remember when a man to the name of President Obama, he was running on, quote, change, unchanged. And I'm telling you, friend, look, it seems like from his administration to this day, America's been on a downhill slide of changing. They tried to change the definition of marriage. People trying to change their gender, their identity. They're trying to change the truth about racism and all of these things. But I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, glory to God, there's some things that never change. And I'm glad for that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Let me read you two verses of Scripture. You say, "Preacher, where in the world do you get the idea of change out of that?" Well, you give me a few minutes and I'll share with you my thoughts. He said in verses 35 and 6 of the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, here it is in verses 35 and 6. "Thus saith the Lord," and here's the authority. Here's the authority over, listen, I believe it's, what is it, 3,808 times or 8,308 times, the Word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord," or "the Word of the Lord came," or "God said." Listen, this is God's book. It's His authority. It's Him that's behind all of this. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord is His name. The Lord of hosts is His name. If these ordinances," that which was mentioned in the above, verse above, the sun in the day, the moon at night, and all that goes along with them, "if these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Can I tell you something, friend? Listen, I want everybody to hear this, even Satan and all the demons in hell. Hey, listen, that just ain't going to happen. Maybe that's what I ought to give this message a text of. That ain't going to happen. But I want you to know, friend, there are some things that never change. And you say, "Preacher, what's got you into this place? What's got you under this thinking this morning?" Well, I receive periodicals from certain people, and I like to read, and they give me news of interest. They give me information about what's going on in the world. They give it from a biblical perspective, from a biblical world perspective. And by the way, that's the only perspective I want. That's the only one you ought to have too. If you're a believer, you ought not to get your perception of the world through society or through man's ideology, through education or politics. You ought to have a biblical worldview, and I do. And this is a group of people that support Israel, a minister to Israel, that believe the Word of God means what it says and says what it means, meaning that God has promised to the children of Abraham, the nation of Israel, the Jews, a place, bless God, promises that He's going to bless them and do it for an eternity, that nobody, not even Satan and all the hordes of hell, are going to wipe out the nation of Israel. There are a lot of people that tried. There's a lot of people that like to today. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, which is one of the marks of the latter days. There's always been hatred for God's people. You say, "Why, preacher?" They're people who preach. They appease. They say shalom. And in that word shalom, it means peace. I mean to tell you, there are peace-loving people, a peace-seeking people, but they've had to fight battle after battle, war after war, just simply to survive, just simply, bless God, to maintain their person, their presence in the world population, on the global world scene. And from, listen now, from a man by the name of Haman, from a man by the name of who was the father of the Amalekites, from Agagite, from Haman down in Persia, from what is this, Antiochus Epiphanes, from Hitler up to the Antichrist. They want to rid this world of Israel. But hey, it's not going to happen. Let me tell you something. It's not the Jews' fault. I mean to tell you, just because there are people, just because of who they are and where they are at, it's not their fault, but it's because God chose them. It's because God chose them out of all the nations, out of all the people, all the world, to bless them. Descend through the seed of Abraham, His Son. Descend through them, a Savior, to give them His Word, God's holy Word, so they could preserve it and live it. To give them, friend, the great privilege, but also the great responsibility of being God's representative on planet Earth. That group of people that would bring out, bring back a world that started monotheistic, that it became polytheistic, that just worshiped anything and anywhere and anybody under any term. God said, hey, Abraham, listen, if you'll follow me, if you'll just believe me, I'll make you a great name. I'll make you a father of many nations. I'll give your people a land, and they'll possess it, and they'll possess it forever. And through you shall the world, shall the families of the earth be blessed. You know what Abraham did? Abraham believed God. You know what God did? God brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Got him out of idolatrous, heathen, a nation. Made him a man of faith. Made him the first Hebrew, the first man that crossed over. Made him the father of the Jewish nation. He wasn't a Jew, but he made Abraham the father of the Jewish nation, out of whose loins would come Isaac and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. It would include Judah, from whence we get the word Jew. But listen, friend, when Jeremiah was preaching and teaching here, listen, things were tough on Israel. I mean to tell you, they were ready to go into judgment. And it's been the enemy's desire to try to thwart God's plan. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to erase Israel. They're trying, listen, friend, to bring an end to that people and to that land. I mean, they tell so many lies about the Arabs and about the Muslims and who the land of Israel belongs to, and the capital city of Jerusalem, or of Israel, which is Jerusalem, whose it really is. Can I tell you what? It's God's. And God granted it to Abraham and his seed. Give him a land grant that's permanent, that's eternal, that's just, listen, as real as God is real. And listen, Satan knows. He thinks, now look, here's how I'm going to bring God's plan to an end. Here's how I'm going to become God. Here's how I'm going to fulfill the desires of my heart. I'm going to wipe out the nation of Israel. I'm going to wipe out every Jew. I'm going to put into the heart of any man and woman, boy or girl on planet Earth, that will listen to my lies, listen to my deceit, and tell them that they ought to hate the nation of Israel. They ought to hate the Jews. They ought to hate God's people. Hey, you know what Satan thinks? Satan thinks, if I can keep the people of Israel out of the land, if I can keep God from keeping His promise to the nation of Israel, then I win. I'll be able to overthrow God. I'll keep God from keeping His promise. I'll keep God from fulfilling His Word. And then I'll win. But let me tell you something, friend. I got good news for you today. Thank God. There's some things that never change. Look, let me tell you. Let me start at the beginning. First of all, I want you to know about somebody that will never change. God will never change. He never changes in His person, and He never changes in His power. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, you know what the Word of the Lord says? And I'm going to read it. I can quote it, but I'm going to turn to read it. I just feel like I need to lay my eyes on it. I've quoted this verse time and time again over the years. Listen to what God said. God said through Malachi, I threw Malachi. We like to call Malachi Malachi down at church. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He said, "I am the Lord." He said, "I change not." I don't know about you, but I want to say a good glory, hallelujah right there. I'm glad that God is unchanging. I'm glad that He's immutable. I'm glad, friend, that He's inscrutable. I'm glad that He's knowable but not knowable. I'm glad that you can comprehend Him, but He's not comprehensible. I'm glad that what He is, He was. What He is and was, He always shall be. I'm glad that in the book of Exodus, when He introduced Himself to a man by the name of Moses, whom He had enlisted to go into Egypt and lead His people out, I'd take them to the land of promise, into the land that flowed with milk and honey, over in the land of Canaan. And you know what? Moses said, "God, now listen, if I go down into that bunch of Jews, if I go down there into Egypt, they're going to ask me, 'Now who sent you, buddy? Who sent you?'" Some of them remember that I used to live in the house of Pharaoh, that I murdered an Egyptian. They'll remember, they'll want to know, "Who made you to be somebody?" You know what God told him? He said, "Now listen, when you get back down there and they ask you who sent you," oh, I love this, I'm about to shout right now. He said, "Look, Moses, you tell them that I am has sent thee." If you look at that in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, you'll find it's capital I, capital A, and capital N. Man, I'll tell you, God signified something. Hey, the translators of the Word of God knew that had to be emphasized. You know what God was saying? God was saying, "You go down there, Moses, and you tell them, listen, that I am has sent thee," meaning I exist because I exist. Hey, tell them that I am and was and always shall be the same. Tell them that I, the one true God, which is and was and always shall be, I sent you. Tell them that the God, that is, like Hebrews said about Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, has sent thee. I say glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, He never changes in His person, and therefore He never changes in His power, never changes in His precepts. I like that. Oh, in the book of Hebrews. Oh, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is. I'm turning there as quickly as I can. When God was making a promise to Abraham, I believe it was. You know what he said when He was making a promise? He said, when God promised Abraham in verse 18, because He swear by no greater, He swear by Himself. And He said in verse 18, let me get 17 with it, wherein God willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie. Do you know what they tell me those two immutable things are? It was His oath and His promise. Hey, friend, I'm glad to know how that, bless God, because God is unchangeable, because God is forever the same, because He is immutable. Hey, His promises are, and His oath wouldn't be worth, bless God, the breath that it was spoken with, wouldn't be worth beans or salt that goes in beans to season them if it wasn't for the person, I bless God, that was making it. Hey, when we begin to think about God, we think about the one true God, the one true God that says, "I am God, and beside me there is none other." He said, "I know not any." Now, that doesn't sound like much until you remember that God, in one of His natural attributes, is that He is omniscient. He says, "Listen, I know all things. I know the end from the beginning." He said, "I know the past as well as I know the present. I know the past and the future as well as I know the present." He knows all things equally well. All things small. All things great. God knows today, friend. How wonderful that is. God said, "Listen, I know." Hey, God that knows, He made the promise. He's the immutable God. He's the eternal God. He's the unchanging God. He's the God, friend, that was and is and always shall be. And in His person, friend, which is unchangeable, His oaths, we can rest in them. We can trust in them. Listen to what God said about His promises over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. My, if you mark your Bibles, you don't have this what verse marked, you ought to mark it. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Do I have the right passage of Scripture? Boy, I hope I do. 8:56, there it is. He said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word. All his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." When you say, "Preacher, that doesn't affect us. That doesn't have anything to do with us." Yeah, it does. If God can't keep his promise to Moses, God can't keep his promise to the people of Israel, that means he can't keep his promise to us. But can I tell you, friend, listen, when God makes a promise, it's done. That's what Debbie was singing about. He gave a promise to Noah. He said, "Hey, Noah, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a seal of this, of an oath that I'm going to take, a promise that I'm going to make. I'm going to promise you that the world will never be overthrown with water again." Hey, this time we've had floods. Bless God, people have died by it. Destruction from it. There's never been another universal flood, and there won't be again. God promised. He said, "I'll put a bow in the sky. I'll put a rainbow there. And every time I look on it, I'll remember my promise." Not that he has any trouble remembering, but he's doing it for us. He said, "And I'll keep my promise to you." Hey, listen, God made an oath. God made a promise, and he's able to keep it. Do you hear me? Listen, he's got a purpose. According to Ephesians 3:11, it's an eternal purpose. I love that. It's an eternal purpose. Thank God. I like that. I'm telling you, one of the things that he has purpose to do, according to the book of 1 John chapter 3 and 8, and this ought to put you on shouting ground. It is to destroy the works of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'll tell you, listen, friend, he brought death to death on the cross. I mean to tell you, the stronger man entered into the strong man's house. And you know what he did? He defeated the strong man. Listen, on the cross, Jesus crushed the head of serpent, like it was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. And the serpent bruised the heel of the man on the cross. Hey, Jesus brought death to death. Jesus got the victory at a place called Calvary, on an old, rugged cross. And you know what he did? Bless God. He brought to pass his eternal purpose. He's bringing to pass his eternal promises. And oh, one day, friend, listen, he's going to keep his promises to everybody, from Abraham and Isaac and all of the nation of the Jews. They're going to be brought back from all the world, from where they've been buried in the nations. There's been an exodus back to Israel. They're in the land. But according to Ezekiel 38, they're still spiritually dead. Oh, the bones just come together. They've got flesh and sinews on them. There's no breath in them yet, spiritually speaking. But one day, bless God, they will be. They'll prosper. Hey, listen, they'll be the head of the nations and no longer the tail. God will bring to pass the promise that is made to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. The promise he made unto David that he had not lacked for a man out of his lineage to sit on the throne. The promise that he made to a virgin by the name of Mary when he said, "Listen, that holy thing that's born to thee shall be called the Son of God, and I'll give to him of the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Satan will be consigned to hell. He'll be consigned first, bless God, to that bottomless pit. It's right here underneath us in the heart of the earth. He'll be consigned to that place. Bless God, listen, friend, under where he'll be seen with amazement by men, according to the book of Isaiah, with wonder. When they'll look upon him, they'll wonder, the Bible says. And then listen, after that he's loosed at the end of a 1,000-year reign, you know what he'll do? He'll be loosed for a little season. He'll go forth and deceive many people, and there will be a battle of Gog and Magog. And you know what God will do? God will come down. He'll bring an end to it all. He'll cast Satan in to the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet will have already been there for 1,000 years. Hey, Satan's got a plan. Satan's got a desire. He's got a work that he's doing. He's trying to destroy God's plan, keep God's plan from being fulfilled, keep God's plan from coming to pass. But hey, it ain't going to happen. There's some things that'll never change. God will never change because of His person, because of His power. He'll never change in His purpose. He'll keep His promises. And I say glory, hallelujah, about that. And let me tell you one promise that He'll keep. Sinner friend, that you can get in, you can experience, that you can know. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, listen, if you'll come with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God wouldn't cast you away. He'll never cast you out. Friend, He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from the bonds of sin, the power of Satan, the penalty of sin that's yet to fall upon you. He'll put you out of the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of light if you'll just trust Him today. Go to Him. Call on Him. And He'll change you. He'll change you up the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.